website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. I'm Carly Meisberger. Coming up tomorrow morning on KBOO.
At 7, it's Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8 is Sojourner Truth Radio, and looks back on the history of the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, including some of the women who played pivotal roles in the organization. At 9, it's Press Watch, with Teresa Mitchell's weekly look at the news you're not supposed to know. At 9:30, on Fight the Empire welcomes author Jeremy Kazimorov, author of The Russians Are Coming, the first Cold War as tragedy, the second as farce. At 10, Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein at 11. On Between the Covers, David Naiman welcomes Layli Long Soldier to talk about Whereas, a collection of poems that confronts the U.S. government's coercive language in dealing with Native American people and tribes. All of these KBOO programs are made possible by member support. If you'd like to become a member, go to kboo.fm and click on Donate. I'm Rachel Hartley.
I'm Carly Meisberger.
And have a good evening. Thank you, David.
Welcome to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. My name is Somia, and I'm here today with my friends from Street Roots, and we are here to talk about the I Am zine. So first, I'd like everyone to introduce themselves. Start with Eileen.
Hi, my name is Eileen McPherson. I'm a Street Roots vendor.
Hi, my name is Leo Rhodes, also a Street Roots vendor.
And my name is Cole Merkel. I'm the vendor program director at Street Roots.
Thank you guys so much for being here. So the first thing I wanted to ask was, can you just give me a rundown of what Street Roots is and what it's about?
Yeah, so Street Roots is a weekly newspaper here in Portland. The thing that sets us apart, on top of the fact that we're always covering issues of social justice, is the fact that we have a vendor program. So we work with every single week about 150 people experiencing homelessness and poverty to earn an income by buying newspapers from us. They buy the paper for a quarter, they sell it for a dollar, and they get to keep any profit they make as their own disposable income.
Awesome. And how, for Leo and Eileen, what is your experience of Street Roots in your lives? How long have you been there? Leo, you can start.
Okay, well, I started in March 2009. Been to several different places up in the Hollywood District. Right now, I'm selling at 43rd and Sandy in front of Whole Foods.
Awesome. Eileen?
And I've been a vendor along with my husband, Charles, since late November, early December of 2014, so 4 years. And we sell at 2nd and Morrison and 3rd and Morrison.
And both of you are involved in creating this beautiful zine. The zine is called I Am, and it's an amazing collection of poetry and artwork from the vendors. Can you tell us a little bit more about how this zine came together and what was the process for it?
Well, the zine started how long ago?
So back in 2015, Street Roots is a member of a consortium of street newspapers around the world, the International Network of Street Papers. And in 2015, we were at a conference for the INSP up in Seattle, and we saw that one of our partner street newspapers, Speak Up in Charlotte, North Carolina, puts together a monthly production of vendor writing, and their entire street paper is vendor. That year, we'd become a weekly newspaper. We were trying to figure out ways that we could continue to showcase and highlight the voices of our vendors, mm-hmm. because we've always really prioritized having vendor writing in the newspaper. Mm-hmm. We have a weekly creative writing workshop. We've had that since 2011 in the office. And so we really wanted to, you know, take this product that we have, this newspaper that is, for all intents and purposes, 90% professional and 10% vendor, and create a product that was 90% vendor, 10% professional.
Okay,
with
so you flip it.
Production and printing. So that started off in 2015. We have since produced, this is our fifth zine, and we've continued to build in our editorial processes for the zines to really bring not only vendor voices into the process of writing and editing, but also vendor voices into an editorial committee that makes all of the final decisions on what goes in, on what it looks like. I'm going to let Eileen and Leo take it from there because they've been active in a couple.
So that means this is my third zine editorial committee, if we've done five, because I've been in, I had a drawing in the second one, Sleeping Rough, and then I've had poetry and other drawings in them. And I know for this one, all the reading, we had so many amazing pieces come in. And it is so hard to have to say, we can't take you.
Mm, yeah.
But on top of that, there is so much reading. I couldn't even think about doing a piece of writing.
Mm-hmm.
I just had way too much going on. I also had two pieces at the time I was writing for other outlets.
Okay.
So just way too much. The piece I ended up with in here was because I needed to dump my brain.
So Leo, tell us about the theme of the zine and the process of how it...
Theme what?
The theme of it.
The
I Am, the, how it's called I Am. What does that mean?
Well, that's what I kept asking Cole. I said, what is I Am? What is that? And he just kept saying, I Am. I'm like, well, different sections of your life or what? And he just said, that's what it is, I Am. So, yeah, I mean, if you read it, you'll see a lot of different parts of different people's parts of where they come from, what they've been through. A lady talks about in her car and, you know, going out and about Colorado, stuff mm-hmm. like that.
Yeah.
Another one talks about his job. When he was a youth, he lied about his age, and then mm-hmm. he went to the up in Alaska. He went on the line. He was a welder and an apprentice welder, and then he, a long story, but anyway, he went and he seen a cabin, and you know, it just became his happy place, like mm-hmm. you know, and I mean, that's that to me, that is what I Am is about. It's just what's inside. And a lot of homeless people really like to do this and talk about this,
mm-hmm.
but certain ways you really can't do that too much. You know, I love being on this committee
mm-hmm.
because just like, you know, what I said earlier was, you know, the enthusiasm, you know, there's raw talent and there's raw emotion in there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, I mean, yeah, there was times, I mean, it got to me, you know, I was like, wow, you know, and yeah, I wanted a lot of them to go through, but, you know, there's just so much we can put in here and stuff like that. And I talked to a lot of vendors and they said that they would like to do, yeah, they were doing, or the, add some in there too. But yeah, that's what it is about. It's just people's lives. And
mm-hmm.
selling this zine, that's one of the, I think one of the things that grabs everybody when I tell them, hey, look, you know, there's a zine here. Would you like to buy one? And they're like, what's the zine? Mm-hmm. So I explained it to them, you know, well, this is part of our lives. We wrote short stories and poems. And, you know, and they're like, oh, okay, yeah, sure, you know.
I found that the stories were really humanizing, that all of the stories were very unique, and each one was very touching in its own way. And I was lucky enough to come to the PICA event, and if you could tell listeners about that. And I just found that experience very powerful, to hear the vendors reading their poetry, reading their stories. So maybe you could tell us a little bit about how that event came together and how your pieces are represented in the gallery and all the things that happened for that to manifest.
So PICA, the Portland Institute for Contemporary Art, for all intents and purposes, is amazing in that they helped us clean out our basement.
That is amazing. Yeah.
So at Street Roots, we've been publishing this incredible newspaper for 20 years. This is actually going to be, we're just moving into our 20th full year at Street Roots. And we have created an enormous archive of content, and it got to a point where it was completely unwieldy. It was not boxed. It wasn't it wasn't sorted. There was just a lot just taken over our basement floor. So there's a professor from Portland State University, Patricia Schechter, who got in touch with our executive director, Kaya Sand, and saw this amazing trove of Portland history and thought that maybe she could help us figure out how to do it. So where we were keeping about 200 copies of every single edition of the newspaper,
wow,
we brought it down to keeping 23 copies of what we had. And so when we got through that process, we literally had tens of thousands of pieces of newspaper just overflowing in the basement. So simultaneously, Patricia put us in contact with the great folks at PICA, the Institute for Contemporary Art. And there was a show, an artist visiting from New York coming in, Abigail DeVille, mm-hmm, who was looking to build an enormous installation piece. The American Future is the name of it, and took a lot of recycled, reclaimed materials to build this huge kind of four-part installation that looks at American history, that looks at diasporas, the Black diaspora especially, mm-hmm, and really helping people carry through. So she used Street Roots, all of those old archive copies,
okay,
to build up one of the structures in the space.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was a really cool experience because vendors helped bring the papers up. They got paid for their work for that. And then knowing that she'd created this really incredible space that was meant to have an amphitheater for people to be able to work in, to share, PICA invited us to do a reading. PICA also invited us to have the zine art displayed, mm-hmm, in the gallery, and then invited two specific vendors, one of them being Eileen, to have their art on the walls.
And what was that experience like, to see your art on the walls?
It's amazing, actually, because, I mean, as a child, I've always wanted to be a creator. Everybody said, you want to be an artist. And it's like I grow up, and I was like, no, I want to be a creator. That you have more fun. You're not limited. But to see your art on a wall in a prestigious location, it's one of those things that makes you go, oh, whoa, I'm scared.
Mm.
I did something right. This is a dream.
Yeah.
Dreams don't normally come true for me. So it's like, that's when you're scared. Because it's like, oh, wow, oh, wow. But it's... I finally got to see Phoenix's art, though.
And who's Phoenix?
Oh, Phoenix is an amazing artist.
She did the cover.
They did the cover, and the artwork is on what page? I don't remember.
Their artwork is on page 8 of the zine.
Yeah, and all the artwork that Phoenix and I have is... I don't know if theirs is for sale, mm-hmm, but I know mine is, mm-hmm, if anybody wants to ask for it. PICA... I gave them my information. What it's for sale as, well, that's a negotiable thing. I usually say, what's it worth to you?
So if people come into PICA and they ask to see Eileen's work,
they will direct them right to the wall. Yeah, they can see it there. And they have information to contact. Well, I know they have mine. I don't know about Phoenix, if they're selling their work or not. But yeah.
And
oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say that if folks are interested in seeing the American future and seeing the zine art and seeing Eileen and Phoenix's arc, PICA is at 15 Northeast Hancock Street, just up in North Portland. And the exhibit is going on through January 12th, 2019. And the gallery is open Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 12 till 6, and Saturday, 12 till 4.
Awesome. And Leo, I know that you read at the event. Can you tell us about what that experience was like?
Oh, I thought it was great. You know, I mean, expressing myself, telling people about the poem, about other poems that I read. Also, you know, the other vendors, too, that read. Mm-hmm. To me, that's very empowering, you know, to see that. And it's very difficult to go out in front of public and read poems or anything like that. But through Street Roots, through this zine, you know, that's really empowering. That's what I like to see. I see a lot of that, you know, people wanting to step on up and express themselves, what's inside of them, you know, through words and drawings and stuff like that, which is really great.
And you're a homeless advocate.
Yes.
So what does that mean for you?
Oh, well, yeah, that's it. I mean, one of the biggest things I hear is people don't listen. One of the poems that I wrote was called Being Human with a question mark. The first two lines, I'm the voice you never hear. If I spoke, would you listen? That's what I hear a lot of homeless people say. Nobody listens. Mm-hmm. Why should I even speak? But here, I mean, this right here, you know, the poems, the Street Roots itself, poetry in there, the stories. I mean, these are empowering things that need to happen because a lot of the society doesn't think homeless people have that in them, mm-hmm. you know. So that's what I think it's really great to have that. And, yeah, stepping up like this and, you know, just showing people, yeah. They always talk about how nervous they are. I'm nervous now. Yeah, I tell, hey, you know, even though I've been doing this since 2001, I'm still nervous, you know. So, yeah, but, I mean, it's great to have a brother or sisterhood like that coming on out and expressing ourselves.
I wanted to ask Leo and Eileen if they would read a poem of theirs. And maybe, Leo, you can start since you...
Okay, yeah, sure. And, yeah, it took a while for me to do the...
And what page of the zine is this on as well?
On page 14.
Okay, great.
And it's called I Am Me, Welcome to My Nightmare. Brought into a world of life and death, I played, laughed, sang, and danced with the devil. But I've also played, laughed, sang, danced, and flown with angels. Living on the edge was a way of life, fighting the demons to get back to this hellacious place we call Earth. I've been with heavenly bodies only to be told it's not my time. Seeking normalness in a chaotic world, but then again, what is normal? Good and bad, we all have them, some more extreme than others. I've been told I'm a good example of how much a human being can take and not go crazy. I am a fighter. I am a survivor.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. This one is actually on page 14 of the current paper, this week's paper. Luxury or necessity? Remember, remember, remember. What it is to have luxuries, daily things taken for granted, electricity to brighten your world, keeping us connected, saving and taking lives in retrospect, or heating my world in winter and cooling in summer, plumbing and water on command, turn a knob to fill a pan, or relax in a bath after trudging through your daily path. Cleansing of body and soul. Garbage, bits and pieces spread when not in green or in blue cans, recycling or disposing of things while working to also keep my community clean. All of these things are luxuries to be had, pay in full or have them pulled. My home was kind in its time, a daily walk with a jack to talk, a bag in hand, we clean our community of all the litter we cannot stand. However, it will not last. since no garbage cans do we have.
Thank you so much.
One thing that I just want to chime in on and say that Leo and Eileen are two absolutely incredible, prolific Street Roots poets. And the thing that I love about the zine is that it brings out not only those folks, but it gives people a chance who don't necessarily write very often for Street Roots, who haven't been published before. The other thing that I really love about the editorial committee and the process that we've created for the vendors to be able to give each other feedback is that it's created a dynamic that feels safe, where people work really hard on their pieces. I don't think there's any piece that's gone in here that's a first draft. Everybody got feedback, gave each other feedback, and was willing to work really hard and create this really beautiful final zine that we have.
And were the poems created in writing workshops? What was the process of writing the poems for both of you?
I think it's both. I think there was some writing workshops that it came out of. The art of work came out of that. And then also just people in general submitting their artwork.
Well, and yes, writing workshops. It's our creative writing that happens every Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Once we choose a theme for the zine or a title, which is our working theme, then we bring that to the creative writing workshop. So we have, what is it, I believe 6 to 8 weeks of just having people submit on that theme, taking that one theme and breaking it down into smaller bits and pieces. So I am was brought up to people, okay, so who are you? Mm. Is it your strengths that make you your I am? Is it your cabin that gives you your happy place that makes you who you are? Mm. Is it your pet? Is it the strength that you have from just surviving your life? There are so many things that make you I am that in those workshops, we brought those little snippets out and went, okay, what resonates with you? What resonates with you? And then we brought all those together, and that's how the zines come out.
And for both of you, what is your personal writing process? How does that, what does that look like?
Well, me, my personal one is, starts with the big draft, then comes down, because there's a lot of hatred, a lot of pointing fingers, and, well, not everybody wants to hear that, so I try to bring it on down. And I always have like 10 of them going at one time. You know,
10 poems going at one time.
Yes. Uh-huh, okay. Yeah, and I do columns too, and yeah, they're there too. But yeah, that to me that is, and it's just a lot about like you said before, I'm a homeless advocate, mm-hmm. so that's what I see and that's what I know about the streets and what I've been through life, you know. And some of them, like this one, is open. I could have went into more detail. But to me, sometimes I don't like to make it personal, mm-hmm. because I know other people have been through this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And yeah, people will come back and they'll tell me, oh yeah, you know, I understand. I had this problem too. And to me, that's what it's about for me anyway, is leaving it open for discussion, you know, to talk about it, to start a discussion, or, you know, things like that. That's my writing. Mm. The way I like to look at it is people discussing it and bringing it more out.
Mm-hmm. And Eileen, how about for you? What's your process?
I really don't think I have one. I take the prompts that were given at writing workshops, or if there's something I'm doing, I get prompted by something, I write. It's for me, currently, writing is mainly a part of my healing process, mm. not necessarily a true outlet for, like Leo, his advocacy and mm-hmm. things like that. I'm working through a different aspect of my life right mm-hmm. now. So when I write, I am doing similar to Leo. I am putting my voice out there, my emotions, my perspectives, my life. I don't really have a full process, though.
Is drawing the same for you, where you'll feel inspired and just want to put something down on the page?
Or I'll just need to dump my mind because I can't find a focus, and because it feels like a tsunami in your head. And I will grab a piece of paper, grab a pen and literally just hit the page and not stop until I'm done. One line. It starts with one line. And I'll just keep going and going and going until I stop with that line. And then I fill it all in.
And for you, Cole, how have you been changed through the process of working with the vendors?
Gosh, that's a great question. I came to this role as an AmeriCorps member with a degree in history and creative writing. So I actually, when I started the creative writing workshop back in 2011, had the idea that I just wanted to create a space where people could get their words, get their processes out. But I think that I've been more and more inspired not only to, you know, be a better advocate, be a better writer. Every single time I see somebody just like really work through something and really redraft it, mm-hmm. I tend to be a journaler. I'm not, I'm not one to write beyond that very much. And I tend to be an editor. The piece of advice I always like to give people is to try to go for the jugular when they're writing. And I think that I try and in zine editorial, you know, keep it safe, keep yourself at a good level, but don't be afraid to go for the jugular.
Totally. I think you guys went for the jugular.
Oh, yeah.
So how can people get the zine, and how much does it cost, and how does the process work for you guys?
Well, yeah, okay. So we buy the zine for $1 and then sell them for $4 or tips too. Mm-hmm. You know, those are...
Tips are much appreciated.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, oh, nice. And then... you know, it's a great stocking stuffer, you know, but yeah, that's, yeah, just ask any vendor, any place, they should have some of the IMs or the zines here.
And how long will it be for sale?
Till they're gone.
Yeah.
Okay. Until us and we're running last. Very low.
So people should get them as soon as they can.
Mm-hmm. Oh, get them before Christmas if you can.
Yeah. Yep. Stocking stuffer. That's a great idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so Street Roots is really an institution in Portland. Next year is the 20th anniversary. I wanted to know more about how that's affecting the organization, how that's affecting the vendors.
Yeah, I mean, 1999 to 2019, it's a pretty incredible span of time that Street Roots has gone from being a monthly to a biweekly to Portland's flagship weekly publication. We will be rolling out a larger branding campaign. We actually just started it right now with our new donation beanies. For anybody who donates $75 or more before the end of the year, gets a special green Street Roots 20-year beanie. The vendors will be getting those Friday, so you'll be seeing them branded all over the city wearing them. We'll be hosting a number of events. More details will come out on those soon. Okay. We're going to be hosting a large breakfast at some point for the pretty much anybody in the city who wants to come, housed or unhoused, so that we can all kind of come together and celebrate Street Roots.
And will that be in Old Town?
We're still determining all of that, but it'll be sometime next summer.
And how can people find out more about Street Roots events?
Yeah, absolutely. So find us online. We're at streetroots.org. Our news articles are all at news.streetroots.org. Follow our social media channel. We are at Street Roots on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. We're pretty active. Sign up for our newsletter at our website, and generally just tune in. Buy a paper, talk to your vendors, read your paper every single week. Heck, buy two copies.
And the paper is amazing as well. We haven't talked so much about the paper, but the paper is an amazing resource. It's entertaining. It's thoughtful. It's moving.
I'm always getting compliments on them. Yeah. And you know, going on the 20-year thing, I was also a board member, so I've seen a lot of progress going from when I was a board member to where it's at now, and it keeps going, building more and more. You know, but one of the biggest things is talking to a vendor, buying from a vendor, getting to know them. Mm-hmm. There's a story in here about a guy selling papers, and he's pretty much the watchdog. He pretty much kind of says he is, which is kind of like, yeah, then some of our vendors out there, you know, getting to know them, their lives. And I know sometimes I hear people ask about different vendors, what happened to them. They sold at this spot. Mm-hmm. I'm not really sure. I'll tell them. I'll look into it and find out they moved on. And so, yeah. But that's one of the things, the human aspect of it.
Awesome. So I just wanted to say thank you guys so much for coming in today to KBOO. It's been awesome to have you here.
the zine is really beautiful. It's really amazing, and I hope people will go out and ask vendors for it.
It's the first time it's been in color also. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Oh, really?
And,
okay.
Yeah, that's our first time.
And I want to actually thank Regional Arts and Culture Council for providing the funding to be able to do that. They've provided funding for the cover, for the color, for printing. They also were able to help us pay all of the published artists and all the vendors on the editorial committee stipends. So thank you, RAC.
That is amazing.
Thank you for letting us be here too and speak on this.
Yes.
Because, yeah, it is something that needs to be, you know, more word needs to get on out.
Definitely. My pleasure. And I know that Street Roots is in the Give Guide as well.
Yes.
If people would like to donate.
Yep. Donations through the end of the year in Willamette Give Guide, giveguide.org.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much. This has been KBOO 90.7 FM.
Indeed, you are listening to KBOO Portland, and the time is 6 o'clock, and next, we're switching it up tonight. News from the booth coming up. Stay tuned.
KBOO Community Radio is requesting proposals for a grant writer to provide ongoing grant writing services and application support. This is a one-year contract position for 200 hours, compensated at $25 an hour. Proposals must be submitted electronically to Delphine Crescenzo, station manager at Dell, that's D-E-L, at KBOO.FM. Proposals are due Friday, January 4th at 5 p.m. Responsibilities, background information, the scope of work, and proposal requirements can be found at KBOO.FM/grantwriter2018.
Hi, I'm Bob Madar, inviting you to come on over to Local Folks Podcast and listen to episode number 6 to discover how a local nonprofit in Corvallis, Oregon, provides essential and effective support to gleaners so they can help low-income people feed their families and heat their homes. You can find Local Folks at KBOO.FM. Go to audio, list of programs, podcast, web only, and click on Local Folks.